have track of it right at the moment.
You know, there's about 5,000 different, you know, if you've got a nice template, you can add it to about 5,000 different image captures of it, and it shows an image capture of your template, so people can kind of go to where it came from, whether they download it for free or pay for it or pay for your services. There's always a link there somewhere, and it links, it could all link back to Achieve Radio.
Yeah, there's all those kind of things, but the point I'm making is that all of this changes so fast and is so dynamic. In fact, the most interesting dynamic to me is that from basically the dawn of the Triple W, it's pretty much been, well, I mean, Netscape was kind of the original, the whole Mozilla thing was kind of the original browser. And then there was that famous lawsuit of Netscape versus Microsoft. But, I mean, for all the years I've been actually in the business, it was Microsoft and Internet Explorer. Now, within the last year, Internet Explorer is no longer the browser. In fact, Safari is the number one browser on Achieve Radio. Hitting our site, Safari, with Chrome and Firefox together, which I glumped them together because they're basically Google took Firefox and took their best programmers and took them out of open source,
you
made
see,
them
that,
professional.
That just shows your marketing skills there, Bill, because you're actually measuring this stuff. You're doing your analytics and you're checking this stuff now.
Oh, I watch
what
it.
Do you do
sure.
with that information? What's the next stage from that? What are you going to do? You know that browser. What can you do to make your site better with that knowledge? Not much, really. You know.
Well, no, except that the main part of it is the whole mobile thing is already over a third, which changes the whole dynamic of web design and web content completely.
Yeah. Good answer.
And it's a pain in the ass for me, but, you know.
And let me compliment you on that, Bill. Your website plays on mobile phone. You know, it does. You press the play button, you go on it on a Windows phone, and it works.
It works on my iPad. The whole new site was a WordPress back in.
It works on Kindle.
Which has it built in. And to me, that's all just a big pain in the ass. It's always tickled me that... the entertainment technology, and Bob, you've probably got something McLuhan-esque about this, but simultaneously, media is going from a standard, we had the standard NTSC or PAL TV set, which was 500 and some odd lines and whatever, a 4x3, and now we've got TV sets in a lot of houses that are as big as some theaters were back in the 30s. And simultaneously, people are watching movies on these little 3-inch screens that they have to practically stuff into their eyeball to see. We've got audio coming out. You know, people have got these magnificent audio systems. And simultaneously, you've got kids with an MP3 player the size of a 50-cent piece that sounds like a tin whistle.
You said something interesting there, Bill, which is the future, because I know a few of my friends, they might not be well off, but they've got family and kids, and they're using the television, internet, so they're willing to pay extra to be online, just to sit there with the family, watch TV, and obviously people are listening to radio through the television, internet thing, and they're not getting smaller, that it's now going into a stage where it's getting bigger. You know, because people want to fill up the room. They want to get rid of their books.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is simultaneously, you've got television becoming theaters, basically. You've got TVs with the resolution of a movie theater 50 years ago. And simultaneously, you've got television the size of a Dick Tracy wristwatch. Television, you know, it's ridiculous. To me, it just cracks me up to see somebody think they're watching a movie on a little 3-inch screen that they got 4 inches from their nose. It reminds me of the nearsighted kids when I was in school that couldn't afford glasses, and you'd see them sitting in the corner of a hallway somewhere with a book 2 inches from their nose. You know.
Well, you guys are way ahead of the UK in America there, but tell me, Bill, how many people do you know who's got like a computer wristwatch or a phone wristwatch?
Oh, I was exaggerating yourself a little bit, but everybody and their brother walks around with some kind of a smartphone, it seems like. It's got to the point now where if you just have an old-fashioned flip phone, you're considered, you know, somewhere between Marconi and Edison. It's considered ancient by the kids now. You know.
But it's Star Trek, and isn't it? That's, you look like Captain Kirk with a flipper.
Yeah, that was... Shatner did a really funny thing about that, about how he invented the cell phone.
Oh, brilliant, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think William Shatner would Bill would definitely get on with you guys. Have you ever had him on the show or anything like this?
Shatner, no. No.
He's big with the stuff, you know. He's the kind of guy, if he mentioned it in one of his Google Plus videos or something, everybody would just flood your service. Are you on cloud? Do you use cloud backup, Bill?
No, I don't use cloud. Our music station, we're putting some of that on SoundCloud, but I don't believe in cloud storage. It's not necessary. I just have multiple.
No, I mean, if you get a million people, you know, your database back up like Amazon offer, you know, and the elasticity and stuff.
Yeah, I just haven't wanted to screw with it. You know, I've got my own micro cloud. I've got three heavy-duty servers and three different network centers and plus what I've got
Wow.
here. So it's like my own micro cloud. But anyway, where'd you go, Bob?
I'm fucking just biting my tongue, for fuck's sake. It's so fucking ridiculous what you guys are talking about.
I'm stuck.
Well, how the hell do I get off, you know, like the old Broadway thing? How do I get off?
Okay. That Zappa song, I'm In You, I posted YouTube, then Ginny found it and posted it. Could you take that YouTube and stick it in my list? I want to have that Zappa song available. I love that, I'm In You.
Oh, let me think, Zappa song. Did you send me
something
about... Yeah,
it's right
about...
there. It's up there. Right at the top of our messages. Yeah. Yeah, that one.
It's on the bottom
now,
of your
Bill.
List.
Oh, awesome. Let me see. You stuck it in
actually,
there.
Actually, yeah, the one you sent me was a shit version, but there was another of the same cut, and then there was a live version. But
so you refresh where? Right, at the top right?
No, just go from list 4 to list 1 and back again.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, good. I almost screwed up and did this.
So what we were talking about there, though, Bill, that would be kind of classed as brand blog, you know, either brand blogging, YouTube videoing, even direct mail through or emailing. You know, you could email that kind of information out to people.
Come on.
To let them know what's going on. It's interesting, you know.
Bill is not going to do any of this nonsense. The guy's retired.
It's empowering. It's empowering.
And Rob, you don't even recognize, he's not going to do any of this fucking ridiculous stuff.
How about this, Bob?
That's the stupidest question I've ever heard in my life.
Stop. Fucking bastard. Fucking good. Stop it. The battle of the bands here. Okay. Okay, let's... Yeah.
Had to do that just to piss you off.
yeah. Fucking shit, man. Jesus Christ. They wonder why I don't fucking listen to their shows. How can I fucking listen to them? They're fucking ridiculous kids.
Not going yay all the time.
I'm a professional amateur, for fuck's sake. You know, I can't go and listen to children listen nonsense every 15 minutes. Come on.
Do you have a forum like you have on the, you know, the... What's the Resonant Node forum that you've got, Bill? Do you have a forum for Chief Radio?
We got a blog, and I got, like, only 2 people ever post on it.
Well, it's not a forum, sorry, a message board. It's like a
message
forum
board,
but it's more
No, a blog, if people sign up and do the comments, it works close enough to a message board. I ran a message board and nobody showed up. You know, run a chat room and nobody shows up. Run all this shit, nobody showed. You know, I get tired of throwing a fucking party and nobody showing up. You know, what do I have to buy the beer to?
We were the first to show up to Bill. We are the first to fucking show up, and he didn't even fucking believe us for 2 years. He couldn't believe it that his fucking ticket to paradise showed up. It took Bill 2 fucking years and a couple of heart attacks to fucking recognize what had shown up.
Well, nobody did show up for 3 years. But I got to tell you this, Bob, your all-night thing. Let me see where we're at right now, but you have actually done an amazing job of packing people in all during the daylight hours yesterday. You were, like, packing. Well, you weren't anywhere near filling them up because I've got, like, 10,000% excess capacity. But it's died off now. We're down to 47 on the MP3 stream and 8 on the AUG stream. But
you were
up around a couple hundred several times and averaged over 100 all day long.
Wow. Have you got that's good, Bill. That's good for your station?
That's exceptional for most internet radio, unless you have a mainstream celeb type of a thing.
Wow. And
does the AUX stream go to iTunes, Bill?
That was thanks to Rob. Rob's promotion got us over the hill. I think that's all Rob's people brought in.
That was it. Yeah,
Rob. Yeah, Rob's amazing fucking asshole. Rob's famous marketing skills brought in and put us over 100. Thanks a lot, Rob. That was awesome. It worked. Your college training is...
I'm just checking now, and it doesn't look that way, actually, and I did a lot of things. This is how I should did it. I did my phone. Then I picked it. I shared it on social media.
I put you down for 3 fucking years. Now you're the reason I'm number one. Could you hear me talking, Bill?
Yeah, or the reason you're number one. Well, let me see what I got for you here, Bob. I got something here somewhere, I think. Where did it go?
Give me the analytics, Bill.
Actually, I played this for you, or I was planning to play this for you in our opening as my salute to your attempt at 122 hours, but I don't think very many people got it.
Yeah, we did. Isn't that Rocky or Donald
Superman? That's the theme song to the Superman movie series.
Oh, I don't know. That's not Star Wars. I never went to those movies. They're too corny.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Superman, talk about an ancient meme.
Yeah,
he was cool in the 30s.
I always got confused, Star Wars.
When was that? That's way back before World War II. And we can't even remember World War II. We can't even remember the 80s.
Well, yep, Superman, he started in the 20s or 30s, I think.
Yeah. That's right. So, Bill, I'm going to go back to the Evergreens, even though they're just English shits from the 30s. they do have things to say, and I want to put it on record. So it's been great having the Bill show. Come back on any time, Bill. You know, carry on with your fucking bullshit technical talk and
I told you to help me get off, man. I don't like talking that shit.
Yeah.
Good morning, Vietnam. See you later, Bob. Have fun.
Yeah, all right. Very good, Bill. Thank you very much, Bill.
No, keep it and get that in your blog. Get people to blog it for you, Bill. You shouldn't be doing this stuff. You've already shared your
I'm going to take the website down and just transcribe all the broadcasts and send them out U.S. mail. How's that?
That's possible. For outsourcing, you send it to...
That's if I can find somebody that can type fast enough to keep fucking up with Bob.
Yes, and Hillary. Both of the planet.
And that won't commit suicide when Corbyn comes on, but that's all right.
Yeah. Hey, Corbyn, what the hell did he say today? What did he contribute? I don't know. What was it? See, with me, you find out what I did say. I do not get Corbyn what he fucking said today. Did he contribute anything? He filled up airtime.
Yeah, he filled airtime. I thought he did a good job of filling airtime and giving you a little bit of a break because he just got off on stuff and it wasn't totally whacked out. It was, you know, Corbyn's cool. He's just such an obvious target. It's so damn much fun to pick on him, you know. I can't help myself.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, drugs, you know.
Well, they're picking on you. Dieter Summerson said, great, Bill's losing it. He just said it. Just typed that. He's losing it.
Shit, I lost it years ago.
I keep Corbyn says. It's so unusual.
Martha's away.
With a Canadian advocate, you know, and he's kind of tying it in with what he said. It's the secret, you say it, and then it happens. I mean, like yesterday on the show, I was talking about frying sausages or something, and then later on in the evening, I cooked a whole bag of sausages. The dog ate about six of them. But, you know, it's like you say something on the show, and then it instantly happens, you know. It's just so... No big deal, but...
Well, there we have it, ladies and gentlemen. The latest flash from London. A poor dog is quite sick from having eaten six sausages. Moving on to other news, a dog exploded on the corner of 51st and Broadway in New York City.
Bill is losing it. No, the big news is that we've just found out Rob's a trust fund baby, for fuck's sake. I never reckon realize that. Anybody can buy a fucking bag of sausages and give six away. He's got money to blow.
No, the dog gets the best. He's doing well.
He fucking ignored it. He didn't go into it. Yeah, that got him stopped. He didn't. Just talk about Rob in front of him.
Have you got a dog as well? Have you got a dog there? Have you got a family dog?
Who?
Bill.
Yeah. Bill has nothing.
Has nothing what? I'm sorry.
You have a family dog, Bill? You got a family dog?
Yeah, I got several of them.
Okay. All right, we better get to work here. We got to get through the archive. All right, thanks a lot, Bill. Excellent contributions. You got me through the dark hours. I could have just dozed off.
The dark 2 to 4
I could have just driven off the road.
It's ugly. Yeah, you almost did. Actually, I was taking a nap and my dead air alarm went off.
Really? Why?
I think an evergreen tape ended, and you were probably running potty or something, so I just punched up some music.
Yes, I did that. No, there was just a... I don't know what happened there, but...
It was only like 30-second break. Go for
it. Right.
Play the stuff.
Okay. Where are my headphones? Okay, so here we go. I will...
Can I just ask Bill one more question? Because it's just
no. Yeah. Bill,
absolutely not. Not now. Not ever. And don't ask again.
See what you did, Rob? You fucking pushed it. Now, fucking Bill's your enemy. You went too far, Rob.
Okay,
you and your technical marketing skills.
Imagine this, picture this. Everybody get on a plane and they go on a flight journey. How many people do you think are listening to Achieve Radio when they're going from A to B, traveling to Dubai or something like that?
None. Nobody.
Is it possible to do that in a plane?
I don't know. See, now you're getting us into... You're telling something, then you end up asking us something.
If you're on those airlines that have Wi-Fi, you probably could, but who gives a shit? I don't do that, so...
Yeah.
What channel? What's the frequency?
Jesus.
No, the Wi-Fi, where you have your internet devices in the airplane. And the flight attendants are getting all pissed off. They say they're getting irradiated from that shit.
Ah. Okay, Bill. Everybody's muted.
All participants are now muted.
The Cro-Magnon man, Lannis, Lemuria. I'll just position it back a bit. About there. Put the volume up. Here we go. Oh, damn, it went forward.
The recording of a session given by the Evergreens.
Where was that? Damn. Where was the number? 50? Lost my place again. Sorry, Bill. Sorry, Ed Long. Might be a big overlap. What were we just listening to? What was that number? No. Oh, well. Let's hope this works. not even broadcasting bill.
Should be.
Yeah. Okay, just a second.
Yeah, your Skype's on, just nothing coming through it.
Right. Okay, I think we're ready to go. Here goes. Oh, I'm probably my sound thing has been shifted. Let's see, sound. No, it's in position.
So, the point is that the oral tradition is expanding. So, therefore, became an inherent part of the society. That oral tradition that you talk of the Greek and early Greeks, oral tradition was to form a finality. We wish to draw attention to the difference between the two.
And that was what you were pointing out?
Yes.
The oral tradition is laid out in the Star Trek series is a different oral tradition.
Yes.
Understanding the benefits of editions of writing.
Yes.
More flexible.
Much more flexible. In those early periods, in the Greeks, it was so inflexible.
I understand. So that's what McLuhan would call the services of the alphabet. It created new flexibility.
It did.
I'm going to go back further. Doesn't sound familiar to me. It may be done, but we've got to go like this.
Him. But that it would be an oral tradition. The oral tradition, as far as the Western world is concerned, has been taken over by writing. To the detriment of what could be the oral tradition. Because writing gives you the opportunity to go beyond what was said and comment what was said. When you live in an oral tradition where you cannot question the oral saying, there's very little criticism. And that which was said about Plato and others was that their approach to criticism was in effect saying that the oral tradition was finished.
Plato said that.
That he, by what he did,
yes,
was to form critiques, form alternate possibilities. The oral tradition is designed so that there is no change.
Was Plato aware of the effects that he would do to the oral tradition when he wrote?
Not completely. Not completely.
Now, did you want to develop... Now, how does this relate to the Star Trek story?
The point is that the Ferengi have 285 rules of acquisition. In one particular episode, they talk of the various rules, and one of the younger Ferengi says that I have to learn 285. You only had to learn 220. So, the point is that the oral tradition is expanding, so therefore became an inherent part of the society. That oral tradition that you talk of the Greek and early Greeks, oral tradition was to form a finality. We wish to draw attention to the difference between the two.
And that was what you were pointing out?
Yes.
The oral tradition is laid out in the Star Trek series is a different oral tradition.
Yes.
Understanding the benefits of editions of writing.
Yes.
More flexible.
Much more flexible. In those early periods, In the Greeks, it was so inflexible.
I understand. So that's what McLuhan would call the services of the alphabet. It created new flexibility.
It did.
Now, with electric tactility, we're balanced eye, ear, plus the flexibleness of the tactile effect.
But does that overlap so much?
Yeah.
It destroys tradition. Tradition is...
You mean today?
Yes.
What was your last word? Tradition is...
Tradition is what? In California, tradition is we did it last year.
Can we pause 1 second, please?
Okay, gonna move it forward. Just a second. That was the end of
it's
type
tactile.
One. Okay, if you do it, now comes side two on the old cassette.
Okay, please continue.
In Europe, tradition is 200 years, 300 years. China, 1,000. So, what is tradition in a society that has linked its interfaces, its words, its thoughts, its tactile, its sensoriness, which incidentally is changing that part of the brain called the sensorium, that there are various methodologies in which one views this world. What is happening to tradition?
Well, it's an apocalypse, yes?
Some would say that the movement of certain historians to what other historians would say is a revisionist state. The past can be seen from the perspective of not truth. What's history? What's history?
Well, I don't want to explore this too much. I have a bunch of questions I want to...
Please.
But you're pointing out that... I would say that, you know, tradition is, in all the different cultures, are going through apocalypse. It's being wiped out. We're becoming something totally new.
Yes.
And that's the tactile effect. The tactile goes beyond the oral tradition and the visual tradition.
It does indeed.
And that's what I think of an old reading by the Evergreens. They define the Second Coming as a time of perpetual change.
Yes.
That, to me, is tactile culture.
Good. Ah, good.
So we can end on that theme, unless
yes.
You wanted to add.
No, please continue.
Because there are particular details of history. What did the, and this is just a legend, what did the oracle say to Alexander? Apparently we don't know what the oracle said to Alexander the Great.
In essence, what the oracle said was, you will reach your goal and die there.
And Alexander was shocked to hear that?
Yes.
And so it became a secret?
Yes.
And that's why we don't know.
Exactly.
I see. What happened, what actually happened in the temple of Demeter? I have in brackets exotic or erotic images. I'm not sure why I have the question. Something went on in the temple of Demeter, the details we're not sure of.
Mm. Understand what the temple is for. Fecundity.
For making babies?
Yes.
You mean it was part of the prostitution cult?
Holy prostitution.
Yeah, sacred prostitution.
Sacred prostitution.
So,
but also, understand the necessity of children. The necessity. Not just need of children. To perpetuate a race, but to perpetuate the parents' children. So therefore, you wanted good, healthy children. So what did you do? You conceived in a place that would say that there would be good, healthy children.
You mean you went in with your wife and conceived in there?
Yes.
And
if not this month, next month. And so on and so on.
It wasn't that you had people making love to other women to make babies.
Some, yes.
Like it was a productive brothel, so to speak.
Yes, if they were within the tribe, yes, not outside.
So you could have married couples perform in there, or unmarried, producing as many children as possible.
Yes.
And the women were the high priestesses of this.
They were the priestesses, yes.
All right. When was the great math? There was a great in one of the old readings.
The great mathematic.
Yeah. When was it obliterated? When was this battle? Was it before the Roman Empire or after?
Before.
And after Athens or before Athens?
Before.
Can you give a time when these battles, when the great math got beat up by people who wouldn't tolerate the great math anymore?
You see, when mathematics reaches a point that it is predictable, then it reaches a point in certain cultures where it is perceived as a magic.
You mean they don't understand it?
Not that they don't understand. It's the result that they do not understand.
Even though they can do it, they can use it to make their predictions accurate.
Yes, but others, not so well conversed in it, would say this is a magic.
So then that became a bad name to be magic?
Yes. Magic had a very hard time of it.
And when did this begin? 1000 B.C.?
Earlier than this.
2000 B.C.?
Between the two, 15.
Yeah, that's the beginning of the Western bias against magic, I guess.
Yes. You see, what is 2 times 9?
11. Or 2 9 is 18, right.
Now, to some, that's magic. Who did you consult in your mind to give you the answer? Is that a profitable God or an unprofitable God that gave you the answer? Do you have other answers? Who in your head talks to you to tell you that this building will stand or not stand? Or that you can position yourself accurately. And the great mathematic was seen as just another oral tradition that was kept within certain families. And once those families were set upon, destroyed, the mathematic ended. So did, people believed, the evil that gave those answers. Certain people to this day say there are certain things you should not know. Of course, that thinking is going. But consider a society that would have that as a certain basic core belief of its own existence is you learn of something, it will destroy you. Because it would have an energy associated with it that would kill you or lead you astray. Or cause your cattle to die, or cause your family to have illness.
I see. I'd like to move on to... Now, the Knights Templar are rumored to have secret sex magic cults, that they would drink each other's urine or engage in homosexual practices. This would be, I guess, around 1000 A.D. Is that a rumor in the occult world, or is it a fact?
It's a rumor.
The Knights Templar did not have a sex magic cult.
No, not at all.
And therefore, John Donne's poetry is the man who wrote around the time of Shakespeare, a little after. He does not have sex magic embedded in his poetry?
No.
All right. Is there a man or woman in history who had, which man or woman in history had the most sexual partners in one lifetime? Can that be tabulated?
Modern or ancient?
In all time, though the cultures could be different. I mean, if these people in the Temple of Demeter are having sex all the time and making babies, and they had many partners. But is there someone, they don't have to be someone we know in history, but is there someone who stands out who had, you know, 25,000 sex partners or something in life, in one lifetime.
No. There is... In the year... ...1157... one individual says he has a sexual partner for every day of his life.
And that's AD?
That's AD.
Well, what culture was that?
To Spain.
For his life.
You take all of the days of his life.
And how many years did he or she live?
63. So multiply it out.
Was it a woman?
Male.
And this is before puberty?
No, he began his sexual experiences at puberty.
So he had more than one a day.
No, he had one a day.
That was his average for his lifetime.
So 50 times 300, is that 1,500 or 15,000?
63 years. Yeah. Multiplied by 365.
Anyway, we'll work at that out later, unless you have the answer. I can't. Is that 18,000 or 1,800? Oh, you're doing it.
Yes.
And that's 63 after they become 12 years old, or 63?
Yeah. Of all of the days of his life, come to more than 2,000 days. 22,000. And in that time he had, from his age 11 to his death at 63, he had 22,000 sexual experiences.
What kind of, was he a rich person? How could he be in a situation to do that?
One of the groups says he travels a lot.
He wasn't a prostitute.
Not at all.
Was he handsome? Did he have sexual charisma? And could seduce somebody every day?
He would have a certain technique. His technique was this. I'll give you exactly what he says. Every woman he met, he acted as if he had already made love with her, and that the first time they made love, in actuality, he treated as if it were the second time.
And he could fool the women into thinking they had.
No, did not fool them. It's just his attitude. His attitude was, we've already done it, let's do it again.
And they
mentally, but he never said those words out. Mentally.
He was kind of like a hypnotist.
Not a hypnotist. It was his own ethic. His ethic was, always approach a woman, in your mind, you hold the belief that this is going to be the second time you met with them. We've adapted that earlier in talking of companionship and friendship. Always treat the person you meet as if you met them before. But he originated this with, if you're going to make love with somebody, act as if it's the second time.
And the Evergreens would agree that he probably had the most care. People.
Well, he was somewhat handsome. He was somewhat sexually evolved in certain ways. But he was of average size physically. His genitals were no bigger than anyone else. Average in all ways, or every way. But the point is, his attitude with women was that he'd already made love with them, even though he hadn't. So he treated women differently.
Would he be considered a genius, an originator of that attitude?
He was one of the first to try it.
There have been others since.
Well, there have been many since.
Yes. But the Evergreens would say nobody has equaled the number of people he's had.
No.
All right.
Sexual experiences, could some of them been a repeat?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Right. And would he always ejaculate inside the woman or not? Would he take contraceptive measures?
He had contraceptive methods, a sheath.
Yes. All right, I'd like to go back to St. Paul, one of the founders of Christianity.
Yes. Approximately 3 minutes.
What is the story about him being converted as Saul on the road to Damascus true?
Not totally true. Not totally.
Was he the character, as we know him historically, who did have an experience?
He was changed. His beliefs changed. It was not as dramatic as some would have it said. It was not just one total conversion process. Understand that he was accomplished in his field. He had traveled. He met many people. And the more he traveled, the more that he changed certain of his beliefs.
As he was a tax collector.
Yes. But the point of hearing what the Nazarene said made sense. When something made sense at such a deep level as it made sense inside himself, then he knew that they would need for this to be told to others. Once again, let's go to the point of oral transmission. But what he got was not the writings of the Nazarene. He got the oral tradition. You see, with an oral tradition, you have nothing on yourself that would incriminate you. No writings that could be attributed to a particular group or a particular problem area. It's all in your head. Johnny Mnemonic.
Yes.
Now, so therefore, understand that Paul wanted this to be told. And so therefore constructed Christianity.
The written version.
The written version.
Was he told of Jesus' ability to do miracles?
Yes.
And did he believe it?
Yes.
And it was imparted orally strong enough that one would believe.
Yes.
Because these were witnesses.
Yes.
And then he decided that's an ancient battle in Christianity, whether it should have stayed with the oral tradition and Peter or to go with the written tradition and Paul.
Yes.
And that's a true battle that happened.
It was the battle of battles.
More seriously than we realize.
Far more.
So the Paul, he wanted to convert it to, like Plato, to writing, and this upset the oral keepers.
It did indeed.
And yet, why did he win out then?
Because the world was ready for writing.
And what is the time of... are we accurate on the dates of his life?
Yes.
Yes, so it's at that time.
Yes.
And the Roman Empire was there to spread the writing.
Because the Romans were beginning to realize that the oral tradition was good in a society that didn't necessarily move as much as Romans did. Rome spread itself across the continent. The Holy Roman Empire was a magnificence of roads, a magnificence of travel. And writing fits a cooler environment.
Not in McLuhan terms. Writing is a hot medium, to be exact.
Writing is a hot, and oral is cool.
So you stand by what you said? Writing fits a cooler environment?
Writing fought. The word is fought, the cooler environment.
Yes.
Hot versus cool. Cool cannot win when the society is moving so fast towards hot. Even now. radio taken over by television.
Yeah, radio is oral and cooler. Television is considered cooler, but it is not oral. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
And so the oral culture dies in the 20th century. The radio dies because TV subsumes it.
So what company is back tactile?
Which is a totally new situation, unless it's the, in some ways, the Atlanteans at 10,000 BC were considered tactile because they had an understanding of resonance.
Yes.
But not like our tactile. We're in a totally new tactile.
Exactly.
That's what's new. Now, has Marshall been guiding this reading a lot?
He's observing. What he's observing is that, and this must end on this, he says, never thought of asking who'd done it more in than anyone else. Interesting.
You're talking about me?
No. That a person would devote their entire life to screwing women is what Marshall says.
That he never thought
that anyone would ask such a question of us.
Of you guys?
Yes.
He's talking about me.
He's talking of questions.
I'm coming up with original questions from Marshall.
You are indeed. And now this must end.
Thank you, Evergreen. So unless there's any final comment or further comment, shall we end the session?
Please.
Thank you. Dear Lord, please enfold these entities in thy love and thy perfection. Amen. Please clear any negative influences from these entities now.
Okay.
Allow the body to become completely relaxed. Perform any healing which may need to be performed. Begin increasing the blood pressure to normal, naturally. And begin returning all other systems of the body to normal, naturally now. And thank you for our sessions, and fairly well.
We do thank you. To you both. God's blessing.
Thank you, and same to you. And now, I would like Michael to awaken, feeling completely refreshed, relaxed, and loved now. Okay, go ahead.
You know, if you can say that you've had sex for every day of your life, as an average, well, some days you'd have to make love to around about 50, 60 people.
Oh, you mean to average it out?
To average it out.
I hadn't thought of that. Oh, yeah,
I thought of that.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And what this guy did was, he did a fair amount of traveling. But his thing about making love to a lot of women was his stamina was, good Lord, incredible.
He's like a yogi or a patriot.
Almost. A lot of the time he didn't even come. A lot of the time it was just a mechanical. It was no ejaculation.
He
didn't.
He had used it up for a while.
No, he just didn't.
Oh, he didn't concentrate on that.
No, that didn't happen. And
he enjoyed tactility. Think of the metaphor. He enjoyed the tactile. He wasn't goal oriented. he wasn't visual.
He got after a while. He got like if it didn't have five women that day, but how in the hell you arrange that is as difficult as hell. But. It sounds almost like that number is suspect because of some guy boasting about it. But they were going to say, no, this guy made love that many times. Not to that many people, because he was with one woman and they were making love on, ten times a day.
And, right. We might have to qualify how many women.
Yes.
Assuming it's women. Mm.
And it probably comes down to much less.
But if you have 10,000, 10,000 people. But,
yeah.
Well, in that sense, we didn't really get the answer. We're going to have to check that.
Yeah. And you know,
but he certainly had a lot of sex.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Trying to wear the damn thing out.
And he certainly didn't remain faithful. And it just occurs to me, now, that's the time of the troubadours. The famous love. That might have been part of that troubadour love world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It was a one-man Pocatelli.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Who's Pocatelli?
Another
festival
in the Navajo
tradition.
All right. But this could be, in other words, what's it called? The what's the tradition called? You know, you're charitable to women. What's the age of...
Chivalry.
Chivalry.
Yeah.
he was, this guy could have been the pop star. The Mick Jagger riding in on a bed of people having sex that period. Mm-hmm. Did you hit that, that lady, what's her name, ran around nude in Jerusalem? I can't, Queen, famous queen.
Yeah.
Not that I forget right now who she was, but she was married to King John and created king. She created many kings. Since then, he's waiting. I can't remember the character. Joseph Campbell talks a lot about it. Mm.
But you know, one thing is that there was that. What I was fascinated by was this is fascinating, and I don't know enough about it to really talk about it, but. Ellie and her calculator take her back a couple of thousand years, and she's got her little calculator with her, you know, the little Radio Shack calculator.
What do you mean take her back?
We take her back in history. We take Ellie back.
Oh, in your reading?
No, right now. We do this. We have a time machine.
Oh, okay.
And we can take Ellie and her calculator back. Ellie and her calculator, within, if she used it, within a week, would be dead.
Because, they would get rid of it.
Oh, they would get rid of it. And her. And her. Because...
yeah.
And see, some people are... Some kids these days, you know, are so good with math, you know. You take that kid back, and that kid, too, would be... killed. Usually stoned.
And that's a characteristic of oral culture, Mark used to say. They're ecological. They would not allow new technologies to come in.
No.
The tactile world we're in now, the new tactile, allows new content.
New content.
Yeah.
But new content and new media.
Yeah, new media.
We're not so media derisive.
We're not, not brought back the oral culture in that sense. Which many people on a simple...
No, that's
music. Yeah. You know, in a sense, music is what Coker calls the hologram, a coherency for people. It's background coherency because we can't really see a tactile environment. We're feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
But many people think on the cliche level that McLuhan celebrated the oral culture and bring back their culture. No, he talked about the tactile nude.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things about the oral culture was that, and the immigrant said, if you don't believe in the oral culture, what songs did you sing when you were a kid? Ellie, what songs did you sing when you were skipping? You had a skip rope. And salt, mustard, vinegar, pepper. You know.
Are you saying we're supposed to? I don't get
you. No, you remember all those things that you sang as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And they get passed on. Now, you see kids out in the playground, and they're singing songs that Ellie's...
Yeah,
she
might be 500 years old.
And Mary, Mary, quite contrary, how'd you garden? And they were social comments when they were done originally and went through that whole thing. But they stick around for their social means. Let's just stay there. And if we said to our kids, you can't learn any new ones, kids go, what? What do you mean? And you say, well, no, if you learn any of them, you will be beaten strongly. And the kids would just say, well, you know, but before, these kids learned epics. They learned at their parents' knee. They learned...
And they wouldn't learn new things. They had enough to learn.
They had enough to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're talking about the real oral
culture. The real oral tradition.
But
and
they were conservative. They would not take anything new in.
No. And then there was the family one. The family one. And what I particularly liked was that the Tanner's kids would learn a tanning song. And the tanning kids would learn it from their father that how to scrape the hide,
whistle while you work.
They would learn.
By singing.
They'd learn it. And they'd how to get the skin off, and how to make the right cuts so you get the biggest piece of leather possible. How to scrape the skin, what to soak it in, and that was proprietary information. We do not let anybody know how that's done.
Right.
The tanners' vats were they usually did most of their work in the very early dawn with the family watch and standing guard at the gate so they make sure nobody comes in to see their formulas. And You did not give your tenor song out to the anybody. It was strictly verboten, like the formula for Coke. You know,
yeah.
Our family knows it. Nobody else knows it. And
the point is that children would learn this through singing. That's how they could learn better, faster.
They learn it through singing and also through meter, through the meter of the
da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you saw this.
Saw that. But the other one was, it's interesting how that progressed into incantations. That the people who learned how to make a tanning solution from the song, other people would do that on other things too. And you learned incantations. And that's where incantations come from, an old oral.
I'm not sure what you're saying. Not the other people.
Other people.
But incantation is singing. Or what do you mean by incantation?
Okay. If you take the witch's incantations, and the most famous one is the three witches in Shakespeare. Round about the cauldron go, in the poisoned entrails throw, told them. That's a formula.
From something.
But he made it up as a witch's thing. But that oral tradition was still hanging on in Shakespeare's time.
Yes, but what is the difference between a tanner's kid learning songs versus incantations?
Well, same thing in a way.
But you were making a point.
I'm making a point is that the oral tradition slowly died out. And the only remnants of it left were incantations.
So the witches were the after-oral culture, but the preservers of it, but they weren't truly oral.
Mm-hmm.
That's your point.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, and that's the beginning, that's the effect of writing.
Yeah, the effect of writing. And the other one was...
Now, that relates to magic. The whole thing is almost magic. Because, in other words, our magic, the witch's magic, that whole world that the feminists are bringing back, is a retrieval of late... alphabetized oral culture, not really oral.
That's
a good point.
And the other one was, I saw cupu. You know, that's the knotted strings that the Incas used. They had a string with knots, and the way that the knot was on the string, you could read it by running it through your fingers, and it would give you amounts.
Is this something I should know, or you?
No, this is what exactly exists, and they're called cupu. Knotted string, and that as a way of imparting information from point A to point B, because they didn't have an alphabet.
Right.
But they did have knots on string. So it seems like if the alphabet didn't exist, there would become a need to invent it.
But wait a minute, when you're talking about the cupu, is that something that normal historians know of?
Oh, yes, they know of.
Okay, you're talking about that.
Yeah.
And you're looking at what this artifact you know of.
Yeah. But they didn't have an alphabet. The Incas did not have an alphabet.
But here's the key. This is the key point. In the Inca tapes, you know, the Celestine Prophecy, those tapes that you did, very key McLuhan point is made in them. I never brought up to you. They never developed the wheel.
Yeah.
And the wheel leads to visual space in McLuhan terms, and then writing.
Yeah.
And that's and the alphabet. So you're right. The 10,000, the way back pure Incas.
Yeah.
They did not. They developed a magnificent, resonant kind of culture because they didn't develop the wheel.
Yeah.
And now you're saying here
because they didn't develop.
Kupu is part of that culture.
Part of that culture. Yeah. But it's not an alphabet. It's only an indicator of information. It's not an alphabet.
It's tactile too.
It's tactile. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they it.
But you made a point about writing that they would have developed the alphabet.
But if we didn't have the alphabet these days, we'd have to invent it. Somebody would have to come up with, I've come up with this marvelous invention called alphabet.
But that's McLuhan's point, is that the alphabet is the matrix that creates the Western dynamism of mechanical culture. It came out of the alphabet.
Yeah.
So we wouldn't have got the mechanism without the alphabet.
No.
So it's not that we wouldn't have to invent it.
Yeah.
But unless you mean something different.
What I mean is, it's an invention. The alphabet was an invention by necessity. We have to have an alphabet. We had to have the transfer of knowledge that wasn't that the oral tradition...
But it comes out of the wheel culture.
Okay, take a break at the top of the hour. We have a little music. What can we play? What can we play?